Some of our less complimentary iTunes reviews describe listening to Three Bean Salad as absolute torture. Well, someone who was tortured, to get a confession, and that famously shaky autograph, was our old friend Guido Fawkes. And we chatted about him a few weeks ago, and there was even more chat left in the barrel.
Lovely stuff.
Also, he didn't pull it off, did he? I mean, it feels like there's a lot of attention focused on someone that didn't pull something off.
Yeah, but otherwise you'd be celebrating the success of a terrorist.
Yeah, yeah. It's to disincentivize. That's the idea. It's a deterrent, isn't it? Surely.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, because it's not like, ooh, if you pull this thing off. I mean, it's not, no one wants to be put on top of a stack of old tyres and set alight.
Well, in effigy form, I don't know. I mean, all publicity is good publicity, isn't it? You will be remembered forever.
You think there's still time for Guy Fawkes to release his series of children's fantasy novels?
It's called YA, Mike. And I think
it's a trilogy. There's Guy Fawkes' Hung, Guy Fawkes' Quartered.
Well, that's an element of the Guy Fawkes story that I always found utterly fascinating as a kid. I remember when I was first told about hanging, drawing, and quartering as a concept.
Yeah,
it absolutely blew my mind, and I was deeply fascinated by it. And I was also deeply fascinated by the fact that they've got one in wax form at the London Dungeons.
Okay.
Or they had. They had someone being hung.
The process. They show the stages.
I think it was just someone with all of it out. Just standing there looking really, really annoyed. But to be hung, isn't it? I mean,
droned
and quartered.
And quartered.
It's an absolute tense's nightmare, which is the last thing on your mind when it's happening to you. But it is. It's a nightmare for the executioner to describe it as an anecdote form. So I was hanging, drawing, and quartering. Hanged him, but I hadn't quartered him. Is it hanged or hung? There's a lot of debate about that. But so hanging, drawing, and quartering is you'd be hanged.
Yeah, but not until
not
dead.
Not until dead.
Yeah. What's the quartering? I think we should put a trigger warning here.
It's for people who might have loved ones who were hanged, drawn, and quartered?
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't quartering removing of the, like, sort of disemboweling you?
No, that's the drawing.
Sorry, that's what I mean. The drawing. That's the drawing. Quartering is you go to north, south, east, and west. The bits of
Henry. Imagine Ananova pulling some cash out of an ATM. But instead of cash, it's your innards.
It's
instead
innards.
Of an ATM, it's
so
your.
Here again, she could have been deployed.
Instead of an ATM,
executioners across the land.
Yeah, that would have been a great tool. An execution across the land. We meet you up, going.
Oh, did you see the size of the booty on that one? Oh, I forgot to look at what he was doing. I now kill people by inflating their buttocks, by injecting, by filling them with leeches.
That's quite a good all-purpose yieldy voice, I thought.
Yeah.
Hang, drawing, and hind quartering. Mm. And you remove the buttocks.
Until dead.
Yes, yeah, so they'd hang you till not quite dead. So what's the quartering again?
Chopping into quarters.
Quartering's being
and
chopped
send
into
you
four
to,
bits.
You know, you don't get properly buried. You get a chunk of you get sent to the, you know.
Which is a way of seeing this great land of ours, isn't it?
It's a way.
Is that right? They would say quarter you, so down the head to the sort of belly button, then you've got a chunk with. How exactly are you quartering the human body here?
I think it's pretty loose. I think they'd chop you. I think there's a degree of artistic license allowed. That's my understanding. Like they could, like your head would count as a quarter, for example.
Okay, so it's. I'm just thinking about the way you divide a brownie or something. If you've got three mates and you're all splitting.
I don't think that's where they started.
You mean the cake brownie,
rather than what a small.
Sort of Girl Scout.
I mean the cake brownie. Or no, you know, like there are certain tarts which are like a slice of a kind of almond tart, for example.
Yeah.
If you're splitting that between three people, it might be quite hard to
Well, particularly because everyone wants a nice balance of sort of crusty pastry at the edge.
Exactly. And essentially, effectively, everyone wants the head, don't they?
Yeah.
So you've got...
But heads go to the Tower of London, so you're basically fighting over what's left, I think. Okay. If you're like Berwick upon Tweed,
yeah,
you're fighting over...
You're lucky if you get a foot, frankly.
Thighs.
Yeah. Okay. So we're talking leg... So I'm just looking... So if I'm removing the head, I'm looking from an illustrator's point of view. I'm looking at the human body.
Yeah.
I suppose you've got leg, half a torso with an arm, half a torso with an arm.
Oh, but you're thinking of the modern-day human body. Of course, the 17th century body would have looked very, very different, Henry.
That's true, of course, because it would have been much smaller, wouldn't it? The whole thing would fit inside a contemporary Kinder Egg toy container. All of this stuff, you've got to remember, was happening at a tiny scale.
Dismantlable parts.
And also, it's such a small scale. That's why it took everyone so long to get around, wasn't it? You go, I'll see you in York next week. I'll see you in York. Yeah, be 6 months in 6 months. That's how long it took, because they were so tiny, weren't they? Oh. Little people going along. Thank God they had the foresight to build roads that are roughly the width that we need them now, though. I suppose the
Cumberland and his onions would be thrown to the butcher's dog.
Or something, is it?
Are you talking about his cock and balls?
Yeah.
Or are we still on transport? Are you saying that's how people from the north travelled?
What, on a Cumberland?
On a bed of onions.
On some roller skates made of onions.
On a rolled up sausage on wheels.
A lot of stuff is sausage based, yeah. What's drawn?
That's when a
satirical cartoonist would draw an unflattering portrait of you, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but in public.
And yeah, that was a horrible moment when you're nearly dead. So you'd be hung till nearly dead, drawn as in your entrails are pulled out, are they?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think thrown on a fire.
Oh, God.
And you might be conscious to see that. But I think in modern times, in films and stuff, we sort of like to imagine that you're awake and you're going, no, my
entrails!
It's entrails!
The Braveheart thing, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think in reality, you're basically...
Yeah.
You're unconscious, I think. Do you not think?
You'd certainly hope so.
Yeah.
So, you know the thing about the core sending the four different body parts to different parts of Britain?
Yes.
Is the idea that that's... Why?
As a deterrent, again, to warn people if you try and blow up the House of Parliament...
I see.
We'll have you, and a piece of you is then going to end up on a stick back at home.
So it's not to sort of something like, because of the afterlife, you'll then be in four sections. You'll be in hell in four sections, and getting the four of you to meet up. You know how hard it is to get anyone to meet up? To get four get four sections of yourself to meet up. Is that the idea that you'll be? I was wondering if that's an element to it.
Well, afterlife. Not getting properly buried was a thing, right? You could not consecrated, but that wouldn't have happened anyway, right? No one's giving you last rites, and as far as they're concerned, you're hell bound anyway, right?
Yeah. I'm just thinking from my point, because I thought the quartering was part of the kind of deterrent. I'd be thinking, I don't really care. Do you know what I mean? Do you like with it?
No, the quartering's more for the people who are there than, you know, it's nice to see someone quartered.
Do you mean for the crowd? Because obviously these were gigs, essentially, weren't they?
Yeah.
Big gigs.
Executions were big gigs.
Yes, this is your era's tour.
This is this is era's tour stuff. And there would be friendship bracelets, wouldn't there?
Yeah, totally. That's the Taylor Swift. And probably there would be a kind of paramour support act at the beginning where they're just off some people a bit more quickly. A couple of beheadings or whatever. Bit of a warm-up act.
What about dragging someone behind a horse for a bit?
Oh, that's always good. Yes. Bound. In a sort of, just wearing rags.
And would they build up to it? Like, for example, if someone's like stolen a pig, they'd go on stage and they'd just be punched really hard.
With a pig, yeah. Or by the pig's son.
Or by the pig's son.
Yeah, exactly. And the whole merch thing is, you know, you can buy rotting fruit and turds and things to throw at people.
So it's
a big money spinner.
It's almost easier to list the things that aren't the same as a Mike Wozniak gig. Bit of fun. We're all mates having a good time.
You'll wish Mike gets punched by an angry pig.
You'll be like,
as I continue to promise on the posters.
You'll be like, in the interval, you'll be like, look, guys, if we all get together on Amazon, because the way modern technology is these days, we could probably order a pig online, get it here before the end, you could at least punch it, at least get something, salvage something from this evening. We could go on Pigaroo. Is there a Pigaroo? There probably is.
We'll have to set it up.
We'll just set up Pigaroo. So I think that element of it as well, as a child, really fascinated me.
Public executions.
Public executions. And also how absolutely shit justice was. Just like how unbelievably crap. Like, it was things like, if you steal an onion, then you have to get, both your legs have to get cut in half vertically. And you have to be thrown into a wasp's nest and stuff like that. Just like, absolutely, what? That's toast. Do you know what I mean?
Henry, I've been reading a little bit about quartering.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a detail here which I think you'll enjoy.
Oh, thanks.
Or certainly is relevant to what we've been talking about recently. There's a guy called Dafydd Ap Gruffydd. Don't know who he was. He was hung, drawn, and quartered. And a guy wrote about it, a guy called Herbert Maxwell.
Okay.
So the bits are the right arm with a ring on the finger.
Okay.
Right? That went to York.
Yep.
Okay.
The left arm went to Bristol.
Okay.
Bristol's getting shortchanged here because Bristol's not getting a ring.
Yep. Is it? it's a snub.
It's a snub. And also those rings build up, don't they? So York is actually making a pretty penny here. Okay.
The right leg and hip went to Northampton. And the left leg and hip went to Hereford.
At no point in this process did anyone just think, this be a little odd.
Well, because they were completely neglecting the southwest.
Exactly. Bristol, what about?
As per.
Exactly.
It doesn't end at Bristol, guys.
I mean, the country is actually longer from Exeter to the Lizard's Point than it is from Surrey to the Orkneys.
Which is probably true. Yeah, that is
why does Hereford get everything?
Yeah.
In Hereford.
Anyway, the thing that I thought was interesting is that obviously the bits then, you know, they will putrefy a bit.
Yeah.
And to stop that...
Wellingtoned. Everything was Wellingtoned.
They were parboiled.
Parboiled. Oh, really? Brilliant. That's a nice little theme bring back.
They were parboiled in salt and cumin.
Can I say that's another opportunity to think... this be a little strange, perhaps?
could there be a better use of our cumin?
So the salt was to stop it from going off, and the cumin was to prevent birds from pecking at the flesh.
Birds don't like cumin.
Turns out.
Well, wow.
Yeah.
So what was the parboiling for? So it would crisp up nicely when you roasted them?
They seem so.
I think it's just so that they don't sort of just turn to mush quickly.
So there's very little thought is given to the torso then, right? Torso, what? Pelvis. It's all about limbs.
By the way, quickly, little tip for if you are parboiling a limb.
Yeah.
You start boiling from cold, and the boil time starts once the limb is simmering away.
I think you're wrong there, Henry, because it's not like the limb has grown under the ground.
Oh, of course, I forgot that bit.
Straight in boiling water.
Oh, straight in boiling water because it's above ground.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, unless you had a subterranean mother.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if your mum was like a pit pony.
Yeah.
Or if you were the Phantom of the Opera, if you spent a lot of time underground.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you don't understand what we're talking about, listen to the last ep.
If your limbs have been hacked from your torso, put them in water as hot as a volcano.
Lovely stuff. Lovely stuff.
Last man to be hung, drawn, and quartered in Britain?
It was 1984.
Arthur Scargill.
It was Arthur Scargill, wasn't it? It's always more recent than you think, isn't it? This kind of thing.
I know in Exeter we were the last people to execute witches. They weren't witches, but that's what they thought at the time. Or they said they thought.
Yes.
But they wouldn't have been hung, drawn, and quartered, I don't think.
That's very on message for Exeter, as I see it. So, blimey. Was that the old drowning?
I don't know what they did. I think it might have been the old...
burn at the stake?
Yeah, that business. Mm. So who's the last... It's traitors, usually, for hung, drawn, and quartering, right?
Yes. So it's somebody who took part in something called the Pentrich Rising, which was an armed uprising... treasonous armed uprising in Derbyshire. And his name is Jeremiah Brandreth.
Oh.
Maybe related to...
Giles Brandreth.
Could be.
He was sentenced to hanging, drawing, and quartering in 1817.
Yeah, that is... I mean, It's more recent than you'd hope.
That does feel recent, doesn't it?
But the drawing and quartering bit was commuted.
Okay.
Oh, so he was just hanged?
Just hanged and beheaded.
Hanged and beheaded?
Hanged, then beheaded.
In that order. You can't really hang someone after you behead them.
Also, I'm reading here, Giles Bundy.
I learned the hard way, I'll tell you.
Giles Brandreth does claim to be related to them.
Does he? Mm. Yeah. Guess he would, right?
Yeah.
Golly, Georgia, you've taken us down quite a dark path.
It is quite dark, isn't it?
I'm enjoying it, but it's not everyone's cup of tea.
Next email is from Rachel from Canada.
Hello, Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
Your recent lukewarm banter about hot and cold taps in a West End theatre.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Reminded me of a game that my friends and I used to play called Washroom Roulette.
Ooh. Say that again, Ben. Say it again quite fast.
Washroom Roulette.
Oh, well done. It's quite a hard thing to say, that. Washroom Roulette.
Washroom Roulette. Washroom Roulette. Washroom Roulette.
You've got the job. You are the next Bond. And you'll be starring in the next Bond film, Washroom Roulette.
Now, this email is mad. All that was required...
You see, that's what happens, you see. You've put it all into the Washroom Roulette. You're fired. It's gone back to Clemens.
All that was required to play Washroom Roulette was an old public bathroom with a large combination soap/water/air unit built into the wall.
Okay, yeah.
What?
Do you know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like you get in public bogs.
Or in McDonald's.
Provincial England.
Can you start again, please?
It's a single hole in the wall, and it dispenses in order.
Oh.
Your soap, your water.
Your hot air.
They've got those on trains, and your aerosoled dysentery. All of it in one go.
And in my experience, you're basically, they never just come on at all. You have to wave your hand underneath and nothing works. And
you'll never get the full combo. At most, you'll get the soap and the hot air, and you'll have caked.
Of course, in London, you also get an option for hot, hot, creamy caramel to encase your hands.
Yeah, go on. So the rules of Washroom Roulette are as follows. Yeah. 1. Enter the public bathroom.
Yeah.
2. Position yourself in front of the combination soap/water/air unit. Mm-hmm. 3. Spin around in a circle as fast as you can until dizzy.
Yeah.
4. While disorientated, stick your head into a part of the unit where your hands would normally be placed, facing upwards towards the soap/air/water nozzles.
Oh, my God.
5. Mash all the buttons on the unit and see what lands on your face. Hope for air or water, never soap. 6. There are no winners. Sadly, the game was put to an abrupt end and my friend was interrupted by another bathroom user whilst filming himself performing an ill-advised solo Washroom Roulette.
Never play on your own, kids. Never play on your own.
Can't recommend that as a thing to do, can we? Because that sounds...
Sounds a bit dangerous. Sounds a bit dangerous.
But the thing is, I think every time you use one of those things, it is effectively Washroom Roulette. Because if you put the soap on, you are rouletting in terms of whether there's water.
And yeah, sometimes the air just bakes the soap onto your hands.
Yeah,
yeah.
And you could end up one of the worst things a human being can be, which is caked in soap from the wrists down and wandering around a city centre.
And beneath that layer of soap caking is some of the most dangerous germs known to man, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. You've essentially baked them in, haven't you?
Yeah.
And you've given them a hygienic sort of clean hat, effectively, to wear those germs, which means they can then... Your body's natural defense mechanism will see it as they'll see the clean hat and they'll welcome it in. It almost gives it a passcode.
It shuts down your immune system.
Shuts down your immune system.
DIY is next, isn't it? I genuinely did some DIY.
Since you recorded the episode?
Yeah.
Did you feel like us talking about it in the episode emboldened you in some form?
I think it did. I've done a couple of bits of DIY.
What have you done?
I replaced some coat hooks that had fallen off my previous attempt. I've not yet dared to put a coat back on it.
They're display hooks.
Also,
you put the coats on the bed in the back room. Those are display hooks.
And in the high winds we had recently, the fence between us and next door blew down. So I bought myself a crowbar and smashed it to smithereens.
So did that help?
Well, it was very cathartic.
But have you replaced the fence with something else?
No.
Just smashed up the whole
one. But the fence is to keep people out, and now you've got a crowbar. If people want to come at you, you've got the crowbar.
Exactly. It's one or the
other.
Come
on. Bring it on. Bring it on, mother flippers. I've got a crowbar.
I love my crowbar. I'm so excited. I've no business owning a crowbar. It was so cathartic.
So what did you use it for? Literally just smashing up bits of wood?
No, it was made of loads. It was quite a dense fence with, there wasn't just one sort of, it wasn't just row upon row of, there were sort of layers of rows of wood, of slats.
What are you talking about?
Slats upon slats. Slats upon slats, some horizontal, some vertical. It was a complex, very sturdy fence back in its day when it was built.
It sounds like a sort of Rubik's fence.
It's a Rubik's fence, so I had to get in there and tear it to bits. Yeah.
Wow.
I think that's the funner part of the DIY, isn't it?
The demolishing section of B&Q. Yeah.
So do you currently have no physical boundary between you and your next door neighbour?
No, but it's fine.
So one day you could wake up, look out into your garden and see Egg the tortoise gamboling towards you.
Unless he was crushed by the fence, yes. I don't think he is. He's going to be all right. That's the one time I've gone into being, you know how some people go into these places and they go, ooh, they get excited about tools and they want to, they come away with a sort of mega drill. That's the one place where I nearly came away with more than I needed and nearly came away with a sort of 18-foot war mallet and some plastic, but like I didn't need it.
Diesel wood chipper.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, sir. That's actually a promotional mallet. There's no way a mallet could ever be that big. That's to draw people's attention to the mallet section. That's a fiberglass mallet.
That's why it's inflatable. That's why it's flipping around all over the place. That wouldn't actually help you with your task. Most of the people there understand that implicitly. It's flipping about. It's why it's got a smiley face on the side.
And the fact that you've just slipped half a packet of Mentos into my top pocket is not going to swing the dude. Yeah. Well, on topic of crowbars, let's listen to us talking about things like crowbars in the DIY section.
Very good, Henry.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Now, I feel like there is an atmosphere of unease.
Yeah.
Packer doesn't look sure of himself.
You're right. I don't feel sure of myself anymore.
What's happened?
Something's changed, hasn't it? Something fundamental.
Were you visited by ghosts in the night?
No, I don't know what it is. But, I mean, have you got something in mind or not? Or is this real?
Oh my God, this is worse than we thought, Mike. He's lost grip on reality.
So we've been sitting here for a while. You've been a coming and a going.
Yeah, that's what I like to do. Isn't it at the beginning of the warmth?
You have also got changed, and I can't help but notice that, yes, your first outfit, you appeared with a sort of denim shirt.
That's right.
And now you've reappeared with a sort of a green, dark green underjumper.
Yes.
And a checked overshirt.
That's right.
Which is exactly what I'm wearing.
So
what's the angle there?
Hang on a second.
What's the angle?
I'm trying to steal your look. So it's true. At the beginning of the records, I like to you guys do a bit of small talk, don't you?
Yeah, often. Yeah.
And then I mill about doing little things.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes hoovering.
I have done hoovering. Okay. Sometimes they're right pushing the ceiling of what little thing is. Sometimes aren't they?
That I did find difficult to stomach. Yes.
Yeah. The hoovering was a step too far.
But you've got to find the boundaries, haven't you?
You've got to push them to find them. Sometimes.
Sometimes you'll bake and baste a ham.
That's right.
Well, we won't be able to see it. We'll just be able to hear it.
Yeah.
And somehow smell it.
Mm.
I also do a little bit of, I have a side hustle as the finance minister of Panama, which is something that I'll sometimes be doing on my second screen.
It's a thankless task.
Be careful,
it's poison chalice, that one.
Yeah.
They're often just looking for a patsy.
But also, I'm conversant with Google Docs, so a lot of it's done on Google Docs now. So you don't have to actually live in Panama to work for the Panamanian government. So because a lot of it's on Google Docs, it updates now. So I can do that on my iPad.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I like to make sure I've got all my bits and bobs lined up. I've got my water. I've got some moisturiser. Just I like to be prepared for all eventualities. And my coffee has to be piping hot.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I've got a bit of a an issue with that, which is I like my coffee to be piping hot. One of my little pre-record rituals is I'll get the, whatever coffee I've got, often it's a Pret coffee, I'll put it in a small, sort of large red onion sized...
A small, large red onion size?
So I'm just looking at it, it's next to a red onion and they're roughly the same size.
Okay.
It's just a mini copper pan.
With a ball of plutonium.
A ball of plutonium. No, it's just a small copper pan, which I use to reheat the coffee. So sometimes I'll stick that to reheat while I then pop over to the...
to IKEA, see what they've got in.
To see, because the deals on desk deals. Lamps are unreal. It makes no sense to not bulk buy desk lamps.
It's only a two-hour round trip as well.
It's a two-hour round trip.
Then, of course, you pop back... Have a look back on me and Mike are still doing small talk.
Yeah.
You clock what Mike is wearing and then go and put
and
on
then I go, and
the closest simulacrum you can make of his clothes.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Which today was in downtown Naples. So I actually had that made. This rustled up in downtown Naples. Because what you didn't see was actually I did a screen save on my laptop while you were doing small talk. I emailed that to my contacts in the international tailoring world.
Charged it to Panama.
Charged it to Panama, so it all works through. And I put it all through as a Panama hat. There's a huge tax loophole in Panama through the Panama hats. If you put something through as a Panama hat, it's completely
tax-free, isn't it?
It's actually only... Technically, it's just one hat, isn't it? It's a sort of conceptual thought hat that's getting bigger and bigger and bigger with every financial year.
It's a huge financial black hole for them. But basically, if you buy a Panama hat, you can charge it to Panama. They have to pay for it tax-free because they put it through as part of their defence budget. When you were saying that things weren't easy, I actually don't know what you mean, to be honest.
You just look shifty.
Oh, I see. That was it.
Yeah.
You know what I think it might have been? Is an awareness that we are now filming the content a bit more.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Something's changed.
Yeah.
I mean, you may have noticed that I've had fairly aggressive interventionist plastic surgery since last week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lovely gills.
The gills are really...
You've gone for a kind of sort of maritime theme.
It's a maritime theme. Well, I was assured by the plastic surgeon, you've got to be ahead of the trends with plastic surgery these days. Okay. So apparently gills are going to be huge in 2026. So I'm going to be ahead of the curve.
And then scales, full scales?
Yeah, so I've gone for microscales. So there, it's a kind of merino scale weft.
Okay.
There's a mixture of scales, fish scales and merino wool.
And then the glassy eyes of a dead cod?
No, there's just my natural eyes. Thanks, Ben.
I think Panama was in the news this week, wasn't it? Because
it was.
Does Trump want to have it?
He wants the canal, at the very least, doesn't he?
Because a canal is just a lack of something, isn't it? It's just a huge oblong of air.
I don't know that it's necessary. I think water is involved.
With some water in it. But I don't think he's going to buy the water. The water belongs to the oceans, Mike.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wants it, doesn't he? So he says.
It's quite bizarre that. I don't really understand that.
He wants it. And Canada and Greenland.
Yeah.
He's got ambitions.
It does feel like he's got some wacky people in his ear.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? It'd be awful to think that he was talking to a high-ranking Panamanian... finance executive
who'd accidentally suggested that it might be for sale.
Who'd accidentally suggested that it might just be a big block of air and therefore quite cheap.
He's not the president yet, is he?
Well, he might be. By the time this goes out, he probably will be.
When's the inauguration? Soon.
I think it'll be just after this goes out.
Because you've been booked, right, Mike?
Yeah. I'm just a bit of slam poetry at the top.
Yeah.
Because I remember the last one, didn't they have a big problem? Because every time... They ask someone to come and do like Obama gets like Aretha Franklin and Alicia Keys and it's all great.
Yeah. People are even sort of lacerated, brought back from the dead to perform. Yeah. For that guy, absolutely.
Yeah,
bands reunite.
If culture, if all culture from now on was only made by people that go to Donald Trump rallies, the quality of film and music would probably.
I think it's just Hulk Hogan singing some Metallica covers, isn't it?
yeah, that's basically what it is.
Filmed by Clint Eastwood.
But there's that song they play at the beginning, his rise, which is "I want to be an American." You know that one?
No.
I want to be an American. And now I come to think of it, I think if Mike was suspended on one of those transparent ropes, just coming down, floating over the audience to that backdrop, Nice. In that shirt. Mike does actually sort of look
Stars
in a way.
And Stripes onesie.
Yeah.
And shirt.
I could see Mike as a sort
over
of
the top.
Yeah.
Was there a kind of Republican Vera Lynn figure?
Yeah. Yeah. Who gets shot out of a massive sort of replica of a handgun and lands on top of a ginormous stack of pancakes. And start squirting maple syrup at people out of a t-shirt gun, but just huge wadges of maple syrup into people's faces.
Careful now. Is the maple syrup, does that represent the impending invasion of Canada? Is that
exactly. Yeah,
that's the subtext, yeah.
Canada.
Canada.
Oh, Canada.
Canada.
I'd like two tickets to see Celine Dion at the ice hockey in the Cirque du Soleil.
Canada.
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 Hey, I'm milking a wolf here.
A slice of old Papa's Nova Scotia rolls down Chrysler's farm in Regina, Saskatchewan.
No one's ever going to be interested in your wide range of amusing facial expressions, Mr. Carey.
Syrup.
I've not heard that America song. Is it? Is it well known?
You would have done.
Do you know that one, Mike?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what it is, but
I don't know what it is. I sort of need to look.
They played at the beginning of his rallies, I think.
Here we go. It's called "Proud to Be an American," aka "God Bless the USA."
Yes. In case the subtext wasn't clear enough, that's the aka. Yeah. Just in case you missed.
By country singer Lee Greenwood. Greenwood song.
Yeah, you imagine music-wise, the inauguration is going to be quite country-heavy. That might be wrong with me, but
yeah.
It feels like if you need some people to come into a Republican inauguration, it's the country community.
Well, it says country acts who you've never heard of who are billion-selling artists.
Yeah.
Who you don't know who they are, but they're absolutely massive.
Pre-Trump becoming a kind of fascist danger to the world. Well, he was already that, but before he was the president.
We are politically neutral, by the way. So
that's right. We are politically neutral.
Yeah.
We are politically neutral. We don't care if you live or die. Bring back hanging, don't bring back hanging. Nationalise the railway, don't nationalise the railway.
I used to quite like the Celebrity Apprentice that he used to present. They used to show the American Apprentice early in the morning, sort of 1 a.m. kind of time. 1 a.m. on a Sunday night was Celebrity Apprentice time. And the celebrities are always much better than you'd get in a British celebrity programme. So you'd get like LaToya Jackson.
Oh, right.
Joan Rivers was one. Okay. You know, big deal.
International household names, basically.
Exactly. So there were those people that you've heard of. Then there were American sports stars that are rich as...
Croesus.
Rich as Croesus is what I was...
It's got to be Croesus. It's Croesus every time.
Yeah.
Just picture Croesus.
So then there's those guys. So the big one was Daryl Strawberry.
Not heard of him, but I guess he's a household name.
He's from the family that invented the strawberry. I mean, they are rich beyond your wildest. Can you imagine? That,
if you can get a patent in perpetuity, as they managed to.
If you can get a patent on a fruit of the forest.
On one of the top fruits, one of the favourite fruits.
I mean, you need only to look at the obvious wealth of Steve Winbury to see the impact that can have on a family's life.
Exactly. And the Winbury, that's not even on the same level as strawberries, is it? Because what you really want is to get onto one of those fruit machines. Strawberry.
Cherry. Yeah.
Those are the big ones. The great thing about the genius of the strawberry design is just it's such a well-designed fruit.
It looks so good.
It just looks so good. It's got the lovely little triangular shape. You know what they say about fruits? It's the same as with cartoon characters, which is you should be able to recognize them from their silhouette. So that, you know, like a strong cartoon character is recognizable in silhouette. So The Simpsons is the best example of that. You can see The Simpsons in silhouette. You know who each of them are instantly.
Okay.
But could not a strawberry in silhouette look like a sort of heraldic imagery, potentially? A shield?
Well, yeah, but again, it's tying into, that's part of the brand, isn't it? That's why you think in your mind that the strawberries have been around before the 1970s, which they haven't, but it's they've linked to...
It was Daryl Strawberry and his family. Baseball star Daryl Strawberry and his family.
Daryl Strawberry. But you know what I think about strawberries? And obviously this this will be water for duck's back. I mean, Daryl Strawberry won't care about this, that I'm saying this. But I'm going to say it anyway, which is I actually think they visually offer a lot more than they deliver taste-wise, but the visual is so strong that almost no one's ever noticed that strawberries don't actually taste that good, basically.
I've got a conspiracy theory about this, which I think is real.
Yeah, go on.
The supermarkets,
yeah,
have bred strawberries, or the industry has bred strawberries to look nicer.
Yes.
At the expense of taste. The nice ones are tiny and small and weird and wizened and quite tart and a bit, you know what I mean? You get those little tiny ones that you can grow in your garden, and they're lovely. Yeah.
I've got a boring middle-aged provincial man angle on this.
Play the jingle.
We don't have the boring provincial dad man
jingle. But it's implicit.
I think it's understood.
It's understood.
Yeah. You don't have to ram these things home sometimes, Ben.
There is such a thing as a very tasty strawberry, but you're not very likely to find them in your supermarkets, necessarily.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. If you find your sort of roadside honesty box purchase, if you find a good spot, a strawberry farm that does a good strawberry, that's where you need to get your strawberries at the right time of year.
That's nice. Also, little life hack. With those honesty boxes, if you don't put anything in them, no one actually notices. Just a little...
Until the day of judgment.
When you'll have hot strawberries fired into you in ways that you can barely conceive of right now. Yeah, so flavour, there's this visual slash... Basically, so flavour is made up of two sensual components, sight and smell combined, isn't it? They combine at the back of the throat, where the eye muscles and the tongue essentially...
The umami.
The umami. They sort of link up, don't they?
So taste isn't coming into it, you're saying?
Well, no, taste is... So the five senses, sight, hearing, smell... Sight. Walking.
Umami.
Umami. But they all... I think taste is linked to smell, isn't it, Mike? Because the tongue does end up going up the back of the nose, doesn't it? Or at least they kind of link up.
The tongue starts in the middle of the nose.
It starts in the middle of the nose.
I remember as a kid, I was made to eat something blindfolded and with a peg on my nose, or holding my nose.
Yeah.
And if you eat anything, it just tastes absolutely disgusting. I remember eating a bit of apple, and it just tasted like an onion.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So it's a bit mysterious how it all comes together.
Yeah.
So the other day I noticed, I was walking along, and I smelled an intense smell. And I thought, is that chocolate? It's an intense smell. I was like, is that chocolate? And I turned around, and it was a hot cheese stand.
So you need to see a doctor fast.
Yeah, that's really serious.
It's all gone wrong.
Is it?
If your chocolate cheese wires are the wrong way around,
are those across?
You're on borrowed time.
Is it one of those ones where I'm actually already dead? These are brain spasms. the banter spasm. The banter
having,
center.
Pod throws. Yeah.
It turns out your life is flashing through your eyes.
Yes.
But at the same speed that your life took.
Yeah.
Everything is slightly off.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Your final slideshow has an unreliable narrator.
Yeah, that's right.
Running it. Yeah.
I'm just remembering my primary school. Jessie Plemons is playing my headmistress.
Yeah.
So that didn't happen at the time, I'm pretty sure.
This is classic. This is classic.
Yeah.
This is starting to show all the hallmarks, I'm afraid. Yeah.
I tell you what, though. Thank God I've got my memories of conquering the Matterhorn to keep me warm. Oh, no. I didn't conquer the Matterhorn, did I? I came really close, but I fell down on not being 100% sure what the Matterhorn is, didn't I?
Yeah, and that rough old day we had to chew your own arm off to get out of a crevice.
Yes.
Just have a look. Your arm's still there. It's still there. You didn't eat,
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's not a tailor's arm. You didn't eat your arm.
It's not a tailor's arm. I didn't eat it. No. I just stayed in the crevice. Oh, disappointing. But that really reinforced to me that fact that... cheese, and it's like cheese is like the opposite of chocolate, surely. But that the intensity of the flavour, of the smell, because I didn't have a visual cue to remind me which one it was.
But you were in London, so you could have been hit with some kind of like trust fund artisanal chocolate flavoured cheese.
Mm. It could have been chocolate cheese.
Give yourself a chance.
Cheeselot.
Exactly.
Harry and Wary are just two cool guys that met while on a gap year.
Good old Wary.
Good old Wary. Yeah. I had to think of a posh name under pressure, Ben. Come on, I'm trying my best.
Wary's mum designed a missile that can do a power station in from 4,000 miles away.
But they didn't. But you know, but they wanted Warry to learn things for himself. So they only gave him £65 million in four houses to start his business idea off with. And Choco Cheese or Cheeselet, you know, has sold less than 5 units in 3 years because it's absolutely rank.
But don't worry, Warry owns Norfolk.
So it's much less of an issue. To an extent, Cheeselet is future-proofed in that respect. Also, Warry's dad has got a deal in the offing with the Korean military to make Cheeselet a compulsory breakfast dish.
Which will be vended through the machine known as Skreg.
Skreg. Anyway, sorry, to keep talking about Barry Strawberry, whatever he's called.
Well, the point I was making was that when I used to watch Celebrity Apprentice,
yeah.
You had big celebs that everyone's heard of.
Yeah.
You had American sports stars, a.k.a. Daryl Strawberry.
Yeah.
Mm. And then this third category was billion-selling country star.
Yes.
That right. is the biggest celebrity in the world in America, but I've literally never yeah. heard of them.
Yeah. Hank Wankian. Yeah. Hank
Wankian. Yeah.
Hank Wankian. Yeah. And he's just got such a huge hat on, hasn't he, Ben?
Yeah. Hank Wankian and Shirley Saddles. They can sell out sort of 800,000 seat arena.
Exactly.
Yeah. With a few hours' notice.
Yeah. And he's wearing that brooch with two bits of string that come out.
Yes. The bolo yes. tie.
Is what it's called, yeah.
Yeah. And their big hit will be called something like, I'm reversing my truck over you. And everyone knows it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So they'll be the kind of people that I imagine will be doing Trumpy's inauguration.
But the thing is, everyone's fallen in line with Trump now, like the big social media guys.
Yeah, they've all given him
name.
Money.
It's so transparent. I mean, at least dress it up. Because, like, for example, I'm a master of, here's the thing, right, which is when you need a favour of someone, you haven't taught them for a while, yeah. You don't just say, hey, can I have a favour? You send them a text going, hey, how are you, by the way? Can I borrow £2,000? But you put in the how are you, by the way, at the beginning. Do you know what I mean?
So it's like, oh, hi, Henry. How are things? Drive me to Stansted.
Exactly. You soften
a flight
it.
Leaves in 3 hours. Drop whatever you're doing and drive me to Stansted.
That's how you do it, Ben. You soften the blow. And ideally, what you do is, 2 days in advance, you're like, hey, Henry, how are you? Mm-hmm. Whew, I hear Stansted's nice to visit this time of year. You seed something.
I see.
A few days. I hear Stansted's actually the visitor experience is almost good enough for people to go who aren't using it as an airport, I've heard. Probably true. Anyway, good to see you. Good to chat. We must catch up soon.
Really soon.
Really soon. Just going to send you a few photos of different routes to get to Stansted. Do you know what I mean? A few screenshots of different Google Maps options for getting to Stansted.
And then 2 days later, drive me to Stansted.
Drive me to Stansted.
Yeah. The plane leaves in 2 hours. Drop whatever you're doing. Drive me to Stansted.
Yep. So okay, let's start with the most basic element of DIY, which I think is changing a light bulb.
That's barely DIY, is it?
Well, exactly. It's the most basic. It's page one. Just yeah. about.
Because you have to you have to wire it. I mean, you can't get your brother-in-law to do that, can you?
No, that would be shocking. Although we have got to the point where it's taken me so long to get around to change a light bulb that my father-in-law has changed light bulbs in our house in the past just because it's taken that long.
Wow.
And he's cracked and he's just dealt with it.
Wow.
Like a ninja.
Wow.
But that's idleness, I think. That's rather than ineptitude. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't mind a candle.
So Mike, because there's DIY, isn't it? But Mike does GYBILTDIYUD.
Correct.
Isn't it? Which is get your brother-in-law to do it. You div.
You div. Yeah.
You div. I'll start a bit on the end. So basically, I think DIY does give you a feeling of satisfaction, right? There is there's a unique feeling that I've heard about, or I've heard
yeah, for a fleeting few seconds before the flooding begins.
Yeah, yeah. But there's a moment, and it's worth it as you're grabbing onto the poorly conceived snooker table / drinks cabinet that you tried to install and use it as a raft to actually survive the flooding.
To alert the plumber down the road. Yeah.
So, sorry, what Mike's actually been doing is GYBILTDIBIITLLTAYBILTDYFILMDE.
Yes, that is true. Thank you, Ben.
Which has really screwed up your palindromic episode. That's made it really, really tough. But what is that, Ben?
Which is get your brother-in-law to do it, but if it is something low-level that you can't ask your brother-in-law to do, it might be that your father-in-law does it eventually.
Very good. Get that on a T-shirt.
It's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle. I have experienced... To give you an idea of how pathetic I am, maybe, in this respect, I have experienced, and I still do, every time I change a light bulb, there's a moment, I screw it in, and I create a little bit of theatre around it. I screw it in, I get down...
on your knees.
Okay. And
the incantations begin.
The incantations begin. Oh, God of light, shine upon me so that my harvest of ideas, because I work in the creative sector, may have a rich and bountiful year. And may the poor weather periods of people being negative about my ideas, may those periods be quite short.
The sort of, yeah, the pests, maybe they be neutralised.
Yeah.
With organic, locally sourced pesticides.
Yeah. And may the two massive, aggressive, flatulent hogs...
Your legs?
Keep trampling all that. My legs.
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure. There was a pause.
This
was
still figurative, Mike.
Yeah, no. Fine.
No, they're called bike and... Nen...
Okay.
May Mike and Ben just be a bit nice to me, please, this year, thanks. So when I change the light bulb, I do it, and then I go and stand at the door where the switch is, and I press it, and when it goes on, I just get a little buzz. I do.
You're not supposed to get a little, that means you've done it wrong.
Okay, but it's only a little buzz, Mike. And then I get a big buzz off the fact that I got a little buzz this time, and then I get a massive buzz off the fact that actually the little buzz was only a precursor to a much bigger buzz. Turns out wearing wellies and standing in a bath doesn't help.
If they're metal wellies, that's your copper wellies again, isn't it? They look great, wellies. But they're
so hard wearing. They're literally mudproof, but they are a death trap. I do get that feeling of the light's gone. Okay, here's my question: have either of you ever experienced, even if it's just a tiny little dopamine hit of?
Yeah.
Press button, it works. I did that.
Yeah, every time I change a light bulb, it's massive.
Yeah. Every time you change a light bulb, yeah.
Just a great feeling.
It's lovely, isn't it? I'm glad that the three of us have managed to do that.
But do you know why it's such a great feeling for the three of us, right?
Yeah.
Because other people, what would happen is the light would go and they'd go, oh, I'll get one of the spare bulbs I keep in my cupboard and I'll change it immediately. Yeah. Whereas what I do and what I imagine you two do...
It's time to get in touch with Jeff Bezos. Is that what you think?
Well, Jeff Bezos will be involved, but before even the Jeff Bezos stage, there is, I'll just use the light on my phone to go in this room for about 2 weeks. So I've got a little room, which is like a little, it's basically a store cupboard, and it's got a light in it, and the bulb went about 8 months ago, and I replaced it 2 months ago. Yeah. So there were 6 months of phone torch fun.
But that anticipation would have made it so sweet.
Well, exactly. That's what I mean. So when I actually did get around to changing it.
You couldn't have seen with the phone torch, you would have revealed, I've forgotten about that. I mean, it just would have been absolutely delicious, wouldn't it, at the moment? Wonderful.
There's a lot of stubbing.
Yeah.
Yes.
And of course, that's where you keep your 300 Edwardian doll heads. Is in that room. So it's more dramatic, isn't it, by phone line.
Representing all 300 Edwardian screams, because they believe that there were 300 types, didn't they?
Three types of scream.
300, yeah.
And Ben's working his way through them, isn't he?
My favourite, scream of delight after a lovely fruit pudding.
Yeah, and then there's scream of delight when my father has come back, has has come back alive from a colonial war with some pudding.
With some lovely fruit pudding.
With some lovely fruit pudding from them, isn't it?
So, you
know what I thought you were going to say, which is what I do, which is when a light bulb goes, you obviously go to the drawer where you keep your spare light bulbs and you realise that you don't have any such drawer.
Yeah.
And what I do is I then reprioritise the importance of different lights within my house. So I'll take out a desk light. I'll put that into the fridge light. I'll take the fridge light out. I'll put that. So there's a kind of, they shuffle around. The oven light goes in the, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the sitting room dimmer light, and everything kind of moves around. So at the moment I think I've got that situation actually where one of my lights doesn't have a light bulb in. I've just shuffled them around.
And then you can of course get to a stage where you have to park your car outside your living room, leave it running with the headlights on. Yeah.
Full beam.
Full beam.
Full beam.
And then just illuminate the house that way.
Yeah. And or if you've got people around for dinner, fog lights. You dip it for people around for dinner.
Yeah,
unless it's one of those kinds of parties which you turn around and you put the brake lights on and
yes,
a little red tinge.
Or if things are getting a bit sexy, hazards. Oh yeah, there is a bit of danger because that's in a way in a sort of consensual sexy way. Oh yeah. Anything could happen.
How many people do RSVP to your sexy dinner party invites, Henry?
You know what? It's about growing an audience for these things. And, you know, just you wait.
It's a numbers game, isn't it?
It's a numbers game.
Now, everyone put their car keys in a bowl. I can't put mine in because the ignition needs to be in so the hazards can be going. That's Extra Beans. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you for supporting us on Patreon.
Thank you very much indeed.
See you next time.
Bye.
Hope you enjoy all the bonus content next month.
What?
No? Is that right?
That's fine.
I don't know if the tone of your voice matched up with the content of what you're saying.
No, often it doesn't.
It felt like something you've been rehearsing all afternoon, and then when it came to the crunch,
I bottled it.
Yeah, or you sort of half bottled it.
Mike, give us the full showbiz, and I hope you enjoy the bonus content coming next month.
Thanks so much for your support, and we hope you enjoy the extra bonus content coming at you in February.
There you go.
Oh, lovely.
Creamy, nice. Creamy.
Thank you,
lovely.
Mike.
I dream of that.
Bye.
I dream of that ability.
Bye.
Bye.